that's okay. Beat up and bruised, I'm still here. Amen? Amen. All right. That's a pretty powerful scripture that we just read. And as you can see, the topic today is the danger of believing a lie. How many of you have had a lie told to you and you believed it? It hurt you when you found it out. It could have caused you other problems. I got a call the other day from a woman in desperate need. Some scammers told her a lie. She invested money in that lie, and now she's in danger of losing her home and everything, and she has a boy that is in desperate need, and she called crying. She said, I believed a lie, and now it's costing me. How many of you know when the first lie was told? In heaven. Exactly, in heaven. The very first lie that was ever told was the lie that Satan told himself. If you look in Isaiah chapter 14, you will see the lie that he told himself. He told himself that he could be like God. He told himself that he would rise up to the heavenly realm. He told himself that he could take over heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Is that a lie? Did he believe it? The sad thing is, a third of the heavenly host also believed it. In Revelation, we're told of the great war that took place. Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and Lucifer's angels. And the result of the believing of that lie is that Lucifer and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, never to be able to return to that glorious state again. What a terrible consequence of believing his own lie. The next lie that we really see about is that lie that was told to Adam and Eve in the garden. You shall surely not die. And if you eat of the fruit, you'll become just like God. The same lie told that Lucifer told to himself, he now tells it to Adam and Eve. And you know the consequence of them believing that lie. They ate of the forbidden fruit. They were cast out of heaven. And the result of that, death entered into the world. And we still experience that death process today. They were cast out of the garden. And they had to work for everything by toiling. Now that when they were in the garden, it was easy for them to do what God called them to do. But now they toil. And the Lord says, you will toil in the dust until you die. And from dust you came, to dust you will return. And they were never able to go back to that glorious place. Now we know redemption is there for them, amen? But the struggle that we face today is a result of that lie. Another big lie that was told is in the day of Noah. You know the story of Noah and the flood. Only 8 people believed the truth. The rest of all the world believed the lie. It can't rain. God's not going to do that. No, it's not going to happen. And yet it did. And what happened when Noah and his family, 8 people, went into the ark, God shut the door. Noah didn't shut it. God shut it. And we know later on that that shows us that the day of probation is going to be closed off, isn't it? The righteous will be righteous still, and the unjust will be unjust still. Read the book of Jeremiah. Another lie that society believed was that surely God is not going to let an enemy come over and run us over. That's not going to happen. No, the prophets even told false lies. They told the people, no, God's not going to destroy us. God has a covenant with us. God will take care of us. Was that true? Because they went into idol worship, we know that God fulfilled the promise he made way back in Deuteronomy. If you go after other gods, I will allow you to be held captive. They didn't believe it. They believed the lie of false prophets. And who came and took over Judah? Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, all of Judea, and took them away into captivity. The blessing there, of course, is that God brought them back, but look at the tragedy and the result of most of the people in that area believing a lie. Saints of God, you and I need to be careful of what society tells us about what they think is the truth. Today, we see in the news, we see it all over, that another great lie that people believed, especially in the nation of Israel, is that Jesus was not the Messiah. The cost of that lie to them in 70 AD, as Jesus prophesied, it was overrun and totally destroyed by the Romans. God said that was going to happen. The Christians believed the truth. And for a moment in time, a break in all of the warfare, the Christians were able to escape. No other group of Israelites escaped the torment, the horror of the Roman invasion, and Jerusalem was completely destroyed, and all the Jews were kicked out of their land. There are consequences to believing lies. But what about the church? Did you know that the church members here, members all over, can tell themselves lies? It's important that you believe the truth. It's important that you do not fall for the lies. One of the greatest lies out there is that when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that when you die, you sleep. You sleep. You sleep. There is no one in hell right now. There are a few people in heaven, though. We know Enoch. We know Moses. We know Elijah. We know that at the death of Jesus, the graves opened up and some of them were resurrected at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All others will wait until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why is this so dangerous for people to believe the lie that when you die, you either go to heaven or hell? It's because it opens up the door for spiritualism. I was watching television the other day, and she's a famous medium. She's blonde, and she's been on the television for a long time. And she said, I'm as normal as the next person. The only difference is I talk to the dead. Do you know what God says about talking to the dead? Stay away from mediums. Stay away from them. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20 and see what Jesus says about the psychics, about the mediums, about all of these other things. Jesus said, don't even do that. Don't even go there. In fact, if you go there, if you seek that, you and they should be put to death. It's a death sentence to follow that. And it is not something that in today's society you might have ever thought was going to happen. But it does happen on a constant basis. All right? If you go after them, they will die. They and you will suffer a spiritual death if you follow after that without repentance. It is very important that you do not follow after the mediums. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Do you know there are a lot of people within the church that will look for a seance? They will call the psychic hotline. They will seek out, even though they have heard that when you die, you sleep, they will still go that direction. They will seek the guidance of the stars and not the creator of the stars. And look at what it says here. If you go after that, God will cut you off unless you repent. Amen? Because in all of these, there is a repentance that comes. And I know you know the big lie about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They've taken from Daniel, that precious week of Daniel, where our Savior sets a covenant, and in the middle of that week, he's cut off, and then we know at the end of that week, Stephen dies, and that's the completion of that week spoken of in Daniel. But most of the church world today believes that when Jesus comes, it's going to be a secret rapture. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And then Jesus is going to come to earth and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a big war that takes place that will end it all. That's not what it says. That's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture is very clear. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I know you've probably read it a million times yourself, but we're going to read it today because we're going to go by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We're going to go by what God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And why am I going through all this? Because I'm going to come to a point in little while, saints of God, that we're going to have to address issues within the church itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. I'm a little shaky because of my injuries, but I'm okay. All right? Those of you that helped me Monday, you know I'm shaky, but I'm okay. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. There's again the truth that is sleep in Jesus. Amen? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The second coming we read, it's loud. It's visible. Everybody's going to know it. Everybody will know when Jesus comes. But guess what, saints of God? There's trouble in the house. There are problems within the house. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to see that Paul had a concern about the Corinthian church. He wanted to see a glorious church when he came back. But he has a deep concern about the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12:20. But now indeed there are many members of one body, and I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No much rather these members of the body which seem to be weaker or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable on those who bestow greater honor, and our unpresented parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having greater honor to the part that lacks it. Let there be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Each one of you are of equal value to the work of the Holy Spirit. Each one of you have a very important part to play in the work of Christ. The danger, the lie that many believe within the church is that my job, my place, my ministry is more important than yours. And I can do it better than you can. A lot of people think that, even within the church. If God has raised somebody up to a particular position, it's because he trusts the work he has placed in them. He trusts that they will lean upon him for the work that he wants them to do. And it's your job, it's my job, to believe the truth that they are important. Our children are important. Our daughters have been given the gift of dreams. I've shared with you, when we lived out in Finette, my youngest one came to me and woke me up and said, "Mama, I just had a dream about our neighbor's brother. He's in trouble. I see him on a bridge." Moments later, the older daughter came, and they were in separate rooms, separate parts of the house. And she said the very same thing. We contacted our neighbor, and they went looking for their brother, and he was on a bridge about ready to jump off and commit suicide. What if I had neglected the gift of dreams in our daughters? What if I had said and believed a lie that even some parents say toward their children, "Oh, that's just silly. You're not old enough for God to work that way." Don't ever believe that lie. You will discourage a child from being able to grow up in the Lord. You will cut off their gifts, and they can even begin to resent the Lord because they were not allowed to do what God is giving them to do. The children are important. Every member of this body is important. But Paul has a concern. He is wondering what will happen if we don't value each other. If we believe the lie that we may tell ourselves, "I can do it better." Did you know that's covetousness? And what does God say about covetousness? It's the same as idolatry. You are worshiping yourself and your own needs. And I know this sounds very hard, but the Lord has placed this on my heart, that even within this body, there are problems. Look at what God is doing and how many people have joined the church and how much we're growing. Don't you think the enemy would love to stop that work? Don't you think that he would love to cause contention in this body? Not just us, but all over the body of Christ. He would love nothing more than for jealousy, for backbiting, for all of these different things to come about. That's a lie that we in the church can believe about ourselves and about others. And it's dangerous. I want you to look around and see how many people have left recently. Did I have any part to play in their leaving? Did we have anything to do with their leaving? Did I consider myself more important than them? Have I reached out to them? Have I ignored their gifts? What have I done? That's a question that each person in this body needs to ask themselves, because we're at a crucial point in the body of Christ. We will either believe the lie of the enemy that each one of you may think you're more important than the other, you could do a better job than the other, or we will believe the truth that we just read, that every part of the body is essential. Your job and mine is to build up every part of the body, make sure every part of the body can do what God has called them to do. But if we don't, we're cutting off the flow of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. But the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look carefully at that list. Ask yourself, am I guilty of any part of this? Now, we may say, oh, I don't worship idols. How much time do you spend in the Word of God as opposed to television or the sports? And I'm not saying within them by themselves that they're bad. But when's the last time that you dug into the Word of God to really dig out a truth, to really go and to really concentrate? We have our Sabbath school that we come to every week. I'm so sad that so few are here. Do you spend time reading that book, reading the flyers that we have, the stories in them? Do you dedicate yourself to studying your Sabbath school lesson? Or do you just run through it and trust, oh, the teacher will be there? If they talk on something that I know, I can say something on that, but you never really study the lesson. We have the quarterlies for a reason, and we're supposed to gather together to talk about that, to share that. But if we are busy with other things, if we don't think that Sabbath school or the church services are important enough, believe it or not, that is a form of idolatry. You're putting other things above the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying they're not circumstances. Craig and I had to be out for a couple of weeks. He was very sick. I took care of him. The enemy tried to take me out this week, but I'm here. But the important thing is, look at that list. Look and see, God, am I guilty of any of it? Scripture says that if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us in here are perfect. With the help of God, we reach toward perfection. With the help of the Lord, we come to Him daily and ask Him to forgive us and to help us grow in righteousness little by little by little. But if I say to myself, surely that applies to everybody else. I'm not a part of that. But one of the key things in there is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. Do you do what you do in the service of the Lord for the glory of God or for somebody to come and pat you on the back? I did not expect the blessing this morning, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. But somebody asked me years ago, Gloria Weiner, do you do what you do? Because I love the Lord and I love people. A girl that used to hate the world and hate everybody in it. God has given me a soft heart and I love people. And I was challenged years ago with a challenge that a dear pastor said, if you see a need, it's up to you to make sure it's met. Whether you meet it directly or you make sure somebody else meets it, make sure that need is met. Saints of God, that means there can be no selfish ambition in that. That means if I'm not called to do that particular work, I will seek out somebody who I see God is anointed to do that work. That's why I joke at you all the time and say, be careful. Don't let me hear your conversations. If I think you're interested in something, I'll put you to work. I'll find a spot for you, because it's important that we don't believe this lie that I am so important within the body of Christ that I need to do it. And let me just share this. These things that we just read about in Galatians can happen from the president of our conference, secretaries, down to every pastor, down to every elder, every board member, every member of this church can be guilty of selfish ambitions. And so we need to be watchful. If we see this happening, we need to pray really hard, don't we? When we see contentions because of selfishness or because of any of these other things happening, we need to pray. We need to do what we can do to see to it that God can work to fix it. Amen? But let's finish there in Galatians, because we do see the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. For those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? So again, as we search ourselves out, as we look and we see, this is a day of reflection. This is a day to ask ourselves, where am I in the body of Christ and in the work of His church? I don't want to be a hindrance, saints of God. I don't want to stop what God is trying to build here. But I've seen it. I've seen it happen recently. And we need to come before the Lord and ask Him to forgive us. You know the scripture. If my people will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. I will even bring them back out of captivity. Church of God, we need to come before the Lord as a group, as individuals, and we need to come to the Lord. The church needs healing. Our land has been hurt. There are people that have walked out of these doors that unless God works in our hearts, we may never see them again. Do you want that to happen? Do you want to be a part of not seeing these saints recovered? Do you want to be a part of believing the lie that, oh, well, if they wear their feelings on their shoulders, that's too bad? It is awful, and we may have had a part to play in it. I pray I did not, but I've also searched my own heart. I'm doing all I can in the Lord to make sure if there's a redemptive part I can play in recovering some that have left, I'm going to do my part. If we do our part, God can work. He will make sure that He takes care of it, but we need to be honest with ourselves. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. We all need work. Amen? So today, as we look at the danger of believing lies, search your heart. Search it carefully. Have I believed any of the lies we've learned today? Have I believed them? Have I acted on them? If so, it's not too late. Beautiful 1 John 1:9. You know I love that verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not too late, church, but we need to commit ourselves today. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy anymore. If he was successful in tricking a third of the angels, he was successful in tricking Adam and Eve. He was successful in causing an entire population to believe the lie and only 8 were saved in the days of Noah. If he could cause an entire nation to believe that no, they cannot be held captive, they could do anything they wanted to and dishonor God and Nebuchadnezzar will not come. If a whole nation could believe that Jesus was not Messiah, don't think for one minute that you cannot be tricked into believing a lie of the enemy concerning your own self. I know I have to check myself all the time. I'm looking at me constantly. You know that I taught and was active in a 12-step program, and that program says it is essential that every quarter of the year you reflect on yourself and see where you are. If you have not grown in the last 3 months, you're stagnant. You're in trouble. You need to make sure that you find out what's causing you not to grow spiritually, and you need to come to the Lord and ask Him to help you. I'm grateful for that. I don't just wait 3 months. I was sitting in a car Monday after a boom, and I was shaking. I was hurting. When I got in the ambulance, the girl that caused the wreck was also in the same ambulance. I had a choice to make. I could have been really mad. My car! But I reached behind me, because she was sitting right there, and I said, we're going to be okay. God will take care of this. A unique situation happened. We got to sit beside each other in the emergency room. And I reached over to her and asked her if I could pray with her. She said, oh, yes, please. I'm hurting. Those of you that saw me, you knew everything was shaking. Everything was banged up. I had the collar on, and I had to turn like this to reach her. We prayed together right there in the emergency room. I found out she's got lots of legal problems. I'm praying for her. What was my choice? I could have believed the lie that I had the right to be angry, or I could have believed the truth that I need to act with grace, with mercy, because it wasn't just me affected by that accident. She was too. She may actually have to spend some time in jail because of her other legal problems. I'm praying that eventually the Holy Spirit will let me keep in touch with her. She needs redemption. She needs grace and mercy. And so I'm praying for her and praying for me to be able to help her. Saints of God, there is so much danger in believing lies. Let us commit ourselves this day forward, not only to believe only the truth, but to act upon it. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.